This year alone, tens of millions of people across the world are going to lose their jobs, people making dollars a day and millions of dollars a year. That's making governments very nervous. So Australia this week announced it was limiting immigration quotas by 14%. And here in the U.S., any company that takes government bailout money has strict new rules about hiring international workers. It sounds like common sense to protect citizens' jobs, but Vivek Wadhwa, Duke professor and a researcher at Harvard Law School's Labor and Work Life program, says, let's take another look at it. So Vivek's with us. How are you? And what do you think of these new rules and restrictions in different countries?
Good morning, Farai. You know, what tends to happen is that when you start being protectionist, it becomes a snowball. And one thing leads to another, and ultimately you end up hurting your economy. And that's what I fear is going to happen over here with the legislation that was passed limiting the rights of banks to hire MBAs, foreign students, basically.
So you're talking specifically about the U.S. right now, and there are many different, you know, there have been many different critiques of the changes in U.S. rules and regulations in light of what some might call the collapse of the economy as we know it. How can you have a dialogue between people who look at the impact of immigration on the labor force and people who are just scared about their jobs? How can you have even set the table for it?
Yeah, right. It's very, very difficult. And I've been getting barrages of nasty emails from people because I've been saying that we need to keep our doors open. We need to keep encouraging skilled immigrants to come here and to start companies. The fact is that if you look at the data, over the last 10 or 15 years, the vast majority of startups basically have been founded by immigrants. 52% of Silicon Valley startups were founded by immigrants. Immigrants have contributed significantly to our global patents. They basically have created more jobs than they've taken away. So now what we're doing is that now things are tough. Yes, I understand many people are being laid off and it's tough. But if you now start telling your foreign nationals that we don't want you anymore, and you start telling companies to fire foreigners before they fire Americans, it's a slippery slope.
Now, let's compare this, what's going on in the U.S., to Australia. Specifically, the immigration minister said that they were going to restrain the number of people maximum coming into the country as workers. And he said, we're going to cut it from 133,500 to 115,000. So that's about a 14% cut. Now, without going too deep into the Australian economy, what's happening there and how does it compare the sort of limits on immigration with what we're seeing in the U.S.?
You have to realize that Australia has a population of about 14 million people. So we're talking about huge numbers relatively. We allow 120,000 skilled immigrants a year in the three top visa categories. So we're talking about the whole of Australia, which has a population of 5% of what we have, admitting as many as we do. And they are, they've learned from us. They and other countries have learned that one of America's greatest advantages has been immigration. And they're learning from us, and we're forgetting what made us what we are.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up there. But, of course, much more to say. Thank you so much.
Sure.
We're speaking with Vivek Wadhwa, Duke professor and researcher at Harvard Law School's Labor and Work Life program.
There you see it again, both what Jackie Combs was talking about with AIG and what Vivek was talking about, anger driving policy at odds with economic rationalism in some sense. Not to give AIG the bonuses a compliment there,
yeah,
but it's interesting.
It's all about framing the discussion and having one.
Anger gets in the way.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.